Season 6.
We have already hosted quite a number of guests in our podcast who shared their curiosity, their experience, their approaches to learning, teaching, living in new environments, and also building up skill sets.
It's all around living and learning together and getting inspired.
Whenever you think it is appropriate for you to see the depths of growth mindset, the depths of live and learn philosophy, just join and enjoy. So welcome to our season 6, Live and Learn with us.
Live and Learn.
Who is our guest? Marina is writing, so is very much connected with writing and interpreting and creating texts and reading and so on. Marina, would you maybe formulate it a little bit better than we do in this case? How do you manifest yourself to the outer world? What is something that you feel that manifests you adequately?
It is always the hard question for me, because I would say in general that I am a beauty and knowledge sharer and perhaps inspirer. If I have to manifest myself without giving details on what I do in my different jobs. Why it is hard? Because being useful and being helpful is not a job in the modern world. I cannot say that I want to take only one side of being useful and helpful. That's why I am doing different jobs and have been doing different jobs through my working life, which is about 20 years up to now. And talking about, well, real jobs, for many years I have been a teacher of languages, mostly English, but also Ukrainian language and literature. And that is my qualification, actually. And at the moment, I would talk about myself as a content and marketing person, because I am doing that for several different directions, like for Tubic, which is a company doing different kinds of designs and marketing and all the other kinds of graphics and communicative designs for different products and brands. And as I create a lot of content about that aspect, I would say that I am a content person. I know a lot and do some content marketing, content strategy, and so on. So talking about most time of what I do as a professional right now, what I am paid for, that's mostly content and marketing. That is about job. But also, I have a website which is nonprofit, and it is about books in three different languages. It shares collections of poems, collections of quotes, different collections of books that may help different people, some things that may be useful for those who want to read or want to find a book for their children or just want to have a poem per day to make their life a bit more poetic and artistic, something like that. And that is not a job, and I wouldn't say it is a hobby, because I don't feel it like that. It is just the kind of activity I do to feel myself useful on the other way. Mostly these three directions are now defining my world as a person who does something, who shares something. So in all the cases, I deal with beauty, beauty of words, beauty of designs, beauty of art, and so on. I share it through the words. And I support people through teaching them how to deal with languages and this way improve their life.
Beautiful. So your LinkedIn profile should be the beauty spreader.
Something like that, yeah. That is what I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. Not creating beauty, but spreading it a lot, sharing it a lot.
Marina, how has this professional transformation been for you? Doing one, two things professionally based on your qualification, and then shifting to a different sphere of activity, of professional activity.
That was something like starting a new life after 30, you know, all those stories when you are doing something like that, that is about me. I had an interesting experience because when I was studying at the university, I said that I cannot imagine myself as a teacher because I'm not strong enough to work with groups of people and, you know, all that stuff. I prepared myself to be a writer, a translator, something like that, an editor, but not a teacher. But then accidentally, I was asked to work as a teacher of Ukrainian language and literature. And after the second, the third lesson, I understood that this is something that is the job of my life. That was not the job I was seeing for myself as a job of my life when I started that studying at the university. But then I understood that it is, and it was the first shift. The second shift happened when I was after 30 and I was about, 12 or 13 years of in teaching. And there were several reasons on shifting to the other job. One of them, because I saw their perspective in IT sphere and my participation in it as a person who can see some technological processes from the other side and tell about it to people who are not involved in it. I am, in this case, a kind of medium that can somehow cover some hard and very technical, very professional things into what other people can understand. I cannot say that it is easy, but I am not a person of easy ways. I am a person of challenges. So for me, it was interesting. And what is interesting is often effective and gives result. Yeah, sure. It means that you have to be ready to study a lot. I think you both had that feeling when you started learning new languages, being professional teachers of other languages, and that amazing feeling that when you are a sort of student again, when you can start a new skill from zero, from nothing, and study some new areas, that is very inspiring. That gives energy. Perhaps that was the main reason that made me believe that I can do that. What was hard, perhaps, was that I came to this sphere without much knowledge of processes. So my first year was about saying that polite, asking tons of questions to professionals, to designers, because reading is not enough. You have to see how everything is done. You have to ask why people do that this way, why they choose this design solution, not that. I believe that when people want to be effective at some job and they feel that they are inspired enough to go a long way, in this case, it's possible. But if you want the fast result, it can be hard. You have to be prepared that results can be just on, not around the first corner, but around the 10th corner of your way. And in this case, any shift is possible and can be quite successful, I suppose.
Words are really inspiring for those who are looking for a change of their career trajectory, maybe trying something new and trying to, as you said, to look for this energy, to look for this inspiration, to do something not only out of curiosity, but also of seeing a clear perspective that it might be efficient and productive.
Yeah, and on the other hand, there is a risk that people can feel like they have a lot of probes, they have a lot of trials, they can try this job and that job and after that another job, and after that feel like none of them worked. It may go that way, not because they are not talented enough or not ready enough or not capable enough, but just because they didn't give it enough time. They didn't get to that twist on their way. They want the fast result. And as we are now living in the world of fast information, overloaded with that information from anywhere, people feel like they have tons of choices and they have tons of ideas to try, and they have just to do something and think if their heart wants to do that or not. And if from the first time it didn't work, they say, oh, that's not mine, I will try something else. It is the dangerous way to go. On the one hand, people shouldn't be afraid to change something, but they should be ready that changing too often, you are risking not to become really good in what you are doing. There should be a kind of balance. What do you think?
From my experience, I also tried a couple of other jobs along my way. And I need to say that every choice has the silver lining. Every choice has some kind of the reasons behind. Whether or not to continue may require a lot of honesty and a lot of bravery, to be honest to yourself. I think that also is a very good example of self-awareness and listening to what brings you joy, what brings you energy, what brings you satisfaction, where do you feel you're making a difference? Are you making a difference?
I hope yes. That's why I am doing all the jobs I do, to make the difference. It doesn't matter if it will be the difference for one particular person or for many people who will, for example, read the article and understand some hard things wrapped into this simple form. But I would also like to add to what you have just said that it's very important to be objective. I mean that when people listen only to themselves, there is a high risk that they will not be confident enough, for example, or they may be overconfident. And that means that they cannot estimate what they really can do if they don't have the feedback from others. So just listening to yourself, again, it may be a good way to feel what you want to do, but it may be not the best way to understand if you do it really well. Asking other people and seeing the feedback from others, hearing the feedback from professionals, from people who really know something about that job, may be a good way to understand that you can do it, because there are many people who listen to themselves and see their teacher from their childhood who said that they will never, I don't know, study this language. That voice in their head makes them think that they are not good enough, although that's not true. Listen to yourself to understand what you want, but try to get feedback from other people to understand if you do it really good and how to do it really good. I think it works somehow this way.
I think actually this is something that I really appreciated through my first years of career, where we all three work together in one department day to day. And I really had this impression that I had all the support and all the honest feedback from you two, mostly, of course, from other colleagues as well. But I think this is something that made us, our friendship last through years, through decades already, is that even though they were my starting years in profession, we had a tendency to discuss things, to share the victories, to share how to improve this. And it was not like a procedural, shadowing in the teaching, right? When you go and watch the other person to teach and then write a formal feedback. What I really loved is that how we shared the life hacks, teaching plans that were created. I don't know, we found our first podcast. I remember the VOA English, special English economic report that we played for our international economic student, and we were super happy to find the authentic, real, actual, contemporary, topical things for our students. I do appreciate all those times together.
Do you think that now people lack this kind of communication?
I do, as now I work as a freelancer, and none of the universities I work with has a department where we as teachers who teach the same subject or the same students do communicate. There is no such thing. So I'm you know, face to face to my students only. And the only thing that I see as a feedback is the feedback from my students if I ask for it, or if I have the next invitation for the next semester for this topic, or for the students, or for this university. So I do lack this specific thing the most here. So that's why I'm a part of the Teachers Association here in Berlin, because at least we could generalize our pains, problems, things that we are challenged with within the profession.
I would also say that, as Marina mentioned before, we are so overloaded with different kinds of information, as well as with different forms of seminars, workshops, whatever, very few of which really satisfy the needs for professional tribes, as we like to say, and support, as well as objective feedback. I've found it useful to participate in workshops, strangely enough, by Italian publishing houses that could feel that need in professional teaching Italian as a foreign language or as a second language, not only in books or courses that they publish and promote in these events, but also the deep need and lack of communication, especially during these years, a year and a half of lockdown and remote education. And they're doing really good work in this area, satisfying this need for professional communication, feedback, really professional feedback, I would say, alongside with certification from the other societies. This is no longer publishing houses, but, for example, Dante Alighieri as a society teaching Italian as a foreign language and as a second language. There is a very professional exchange between teachers, and I'm noticing there is not so much in stock as far as English as a second language is concerned. They're more... My perception is that there is more about being overloaded with material and under given what we really need.
You mean that underloaded with the communication, real communication with other professionals like that?
These are mostly either panel speeches, and then they're highly professional, or a lot of communication that... Well, I'm speaking for myself, do not satisfy my needs as a professional.
Which are
professional exchange, which are not just saying which programs, which software do you use? Guys, there is lots to discover. Like, I know how to look for information and find it. But what I really would need is not satisfied during these exchanges.
I think I have a couple of the events to invite you to.
Okay, please do. Please do. But really, over these year and a half, I would say that for me, it's there is definitely this crack between the Italian as a second language society and English. English for communication, English as a second language, as a foreign language. Not to say about certifications, these are really professional and give important information. But yeah, that's for information and not so much for professional exchange.
Marine, to which I have a question to you. Do you miss all this teaching stuff, teaching green room discussions?
I actually loved all that stuff, and I do like communicating with people that have a goal to hear each other, to share something with each other, and to somehow solve some problems, to study from each other. So yes, if we are talking about our ex-office, where we got together and talked a lot about how we teach different topics, what kind of books are more effective for this or that, what kind of students work better on these or those topics. So sure, it was absolutely useful. And I suppose that is something that should be built not only in teaching, but in any kind of company where people have to create something together, even working on different groups, on different tasks, on different parts of the project. They have to get an opportunity to exchange what they know, because together they have a much more effective collective mind. That is the power of teamwork, when you can do something for your colleagues, for your teammates, and get something from them. And sure, that is something to miss. But I cannot say that now we have no chance to do that. We can get together, but in just a different way, and talk about those things here.
So, for example, we are super happy to invite you to our podcast and share the professional and personal curiosities, how you get energy, how you share and spread the happiness from your heart, from your brain, with all your words to the outer world, and make it a little bit brighter and definitely kinder.
Well, thanks a lot for inviting me. And I am afraid of talking too much about myself, not about something useful for others. But I hope that if we think of the topics that can be important or interesting for your listeners, and I can be helpful on them, they will let you know somewhere in comments, in Twitter or something, and we will get together to talk about that more than about just personalities and personal attitudes to different things. So hopefully I can be, again, I can be useful in the future when it's clear what you would like to discuss.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marina. Definitely talking about yourself is what our listeners will definitely appreciate, because it's what the flow of the conversation is. We've invited you because of our curiosity and because of our interest in you and in your personality. And we do hope that where our conversation today brought us allowed our listeners to get to know you, to get to know more about how we communicate, how we discover topics, how we satisfy our curiosity.
To learn how we live and learn. So Marina, now it is the brightest moment. We have a specific question we ask everybody in the end of our guest episode. And Ina is a professional of putting it. So Ina, the floor is yours.
What haven't we asked you that you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, there is much I could share, but I suppose you didn't ask me what I think makes people happy.
And what do you think makes people happy?
I think there are several things that only in combination can make people happy. The first one is communicating with other people, because we are social even if we think we are not. It means just that we didn't find our group. The other thing is having work that brings you joy and makes you feel that you are the one that is needed by the world. And one more thing is family that feels you a part of their hearts and soul, and you feel like they are a part of your heart and soul. And the last point is communication to nature, finding time to feel yourself a part of a big world, which is not only people, but much more, much, much beyond. Only combining all those things together, people can be happy. It doesn't make one for another. So when people try to concentrate only on being successful in their work, or only in being successful in their studies, or only to find the best friend and to be told about, like, you are the best friend, or only on their families, it gives them a high risk of being unhappy just because they do not find the balance. So I do wish all your listeners to feel happy, to find that balance, and to get together all the details from any aspect they want, to feel themselves strong, to feel themselves cheerful, and to have power for your next podcast.
How do you think people can get to this?
They can live and learn.
yeah, absolutely. They should live. It's not just can, but they should live and learn from every day they live. Living is learning. Learning is not about lessons that are fixed in the schedule. It's not about lessons that are called that way. It's about everything around you that you analyze and take a lesson from it. So yeah, living and learning means that you take small steps on the big way to becoming happy.
Marina, you said early in the episode that you're a content person. Now that you're talking about happiness, it sounds like you're also a content person.
Oh, yes, I hope so. That's what I am working on every day, being a sort of content person. But yes, that sounds great. I will try to somehow make it my slogan, like content with two accents, you know?
Yeah.
Just choose the accent you want.
Choose the accent you want. Live and learn.
Thanks a lot. That's a good idea.
Live and learn.
Live and learn.
Live and learn.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you share Live and Learn philosophy, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on all the major social media. Comment and spread the word about this podcast so that more people could get their weekly portion of growth mindset content. Live and learn!